This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ying.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carpe Diem with your host, Lisa McDonald.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa McDonald here, Carpe Diem. Welcome to Dundas, Ontario, Canada. I'm so excited to once again be joined by a former guest and good friend, Rob Proust. And Rob and I did radio a couple months ago, and just absolutely loved his spirit, loved his enthusiasm. And, of course, we keep in touch regularly, and as people would know who follow me and tune into the Contact Network, they would know that I plug Rob everywhere. And, in fact, my last guest who I had on the show was a result of the contact she had with Rob and really supported what she was doing. And, of course, Rob's always endorsing and supporting people who are doing great work in the community and helping children and great causes and whatnot. So I thought, you know what, let's get Rob back on the show. I'm talking about him all the time anyway. Let's see what's new in his life and what's happening. So, Rob, I want to welcome you back to my show.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome back to you, too. You sound like you're so far away. Where could
you
be?
So you were just so close. You were just in Toronto. You want to tell everybody a little bit about what that was about?
I was in Toronto last weekend. I flew up just for a couple of days to play with Carol Pope. We played at the big Pride Festival at the concert on Sunday down at Dundas Square in Toronto, which was awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was super fun because Carol and I had been friends for – well, we met here in New York back in 2002, I think. Like, we had both just moved to New York around that time. And mm-hmm. I actually ran into her randomly in a store. I was downtown, and I was walking in the store, and I saw her. And I thought, oh, my God, there's Carol Pope. And then I felt really Canadian because I knew that nobody else around me, like was noticing that she was there. Uh-huh. And so I went up to her and said, hey, Carol, you may not remember me, but you may remember my band, The Spoons. And she's like, of course. Because we then it turned – like as we talked, we realized that we had met many years before. And so then mm-hmm. we were both like new to New York. And so we became friends and started hanging out. And we've co-written some songs over the years. And she came to my wedding a couple years ago. And
wonderful.
Yes. And so we've always wanted to like work together whenever we get a chance. And so she had told me she was going to be in Toronto. And I said, oh, I'd love to play with you. And she said, really? So she flew me up and we did the gig and it was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you being back in your stomping ground?
It was weird.
Yeah?
Yes. It was, I mean, I hadn't really spent that much. Well, I was in Toronto last summer. I have been involved with this musical called Once, which just wrapped up its run in Toronto. And I was up there last summer to do auditions to help find all the people to be in the show. And that was my first time spending any amount of time in Toronto in quite a while. But this past weekend, so like after we finished the gig, I decided to just kind of take a walk. I walked all the way up Yonge Street, and I walked all the way across Bloor Street, and like over past Spadina, kind of like that was my old area. When I lived in Toronto 15 years ago, that was kind of, I consider that all like my normal kind of neighborhood, sort of. So I hadn't really been there in a long time to actually just wander around like that. When I was working there last summer, I was kind of spending all day at a theater doing auditions and then going back to the hotel. But even just this evening, this past week, it was nice to just wander around and be able to have a look. And it was nice, but there's something that I sort of miss about Toronto, but it's hidden in there. I just have to kind of see past all the construction and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's a different city.
Do you spend much time there these days?
I don't actually, but I plan to be going August for a couple weeks to hit up all the bookstores, independent and otherwise. So
yeah.
I've got some time coming to me that affords me to do that.
Cool.
Because, as you know, I'm trying to get my books widespread across Canada.
Yeah.
And just primarily focusing on out west right now and doing quite well with receptivity from store managers out there. So
nice.
So I'm going to be hitting Toronto pretty hardcore between August 13th to the 31st. And,
cool.
Because, I mean, there's just, you know, so many wonderful little pockets in Toronto and lovely independent bookstores and great people. And, of course, artists always supporting artists and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I did. That's one thing I did. I definitely noticed walking up Yonge Street, a lot of nice small bookstores. I mean, first there's the giant Indigo in the Eaton Center, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little obsessed with that place. And to me, it's better than any, it's better than any bookstore in Manhattan. I mean, I live in New York City, and when I go to Indigo, I find 10,000 more things that I'm interested in for some strange reason. Mind you, in New York, we have this place called The Strand, which is a giant used bookstore, which is amazing. But Indigo is great. And then, like I said, all these, there was like three or four smaller, like used bookstores and like things up Yonge Street and across Bloor. And I thought even that was really nice to see, because bookstores are sort of disappearing everywhere, it seems. And it's a sad thing to me to see that happening. But, you know, people shopping online, but it's such a different experience to actually walk into a store and look at real books.
Absolutely. Well, there's nothing like, you know, having the hard copy, tangible book in your hand, you know, particularly if you're reading to your children.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that novelty never dies out. I know it's a different generation with technology, and people can download things and upload things on their iPads. And, you know, that seems to be the way things are going for a big portion of our population. But, you know,
I don't think it'll ever go away completely.
I don't think so either,
no.
Rob. I truly don't. And, you know, I mean, they're still holding their own and they're still going strong. And,
totally.
You know, for every time I do a book signing, you know, all the people that continue to come in and bring their children and the bookstores have gotten quite creative too with having activities and readings and things of that nature. So there's still a big draw, still a big pull, and it's nice
definitely
to see the loyalty remain.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you know, if you want to elaborate a little bit more before we switch gears here about Toronto. And so, you know, what was the audience like and the receptivity? Because it was a big weekend, you know.
It was a big weekend, but the weather wasn't great. It was actually raining. First time in a long time.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty soggy.
I've done an outdoor show, and I was getting rained on, like on my keyboard, and I was a little nervous. It was like the stage was covered, but we were just kind of close enough to the edge of the stage that the rain was sort of blown sideways. You know, when it does that thing where it's like just everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So I was getting a little wet, and they put some plastic on the front of the keyboard, which kind of helped, but I had a big towel, and every once in a while I had to just like turn the keyboard right off and just wipe the keys down so that I could actually play it and not slip all over. But it was really fun, because then the rain finally stopped after a few songs.
Was there a big rainbow?
There was not. There should have been a big
aww
rainbow for Pride anyways, but there was rainbows hanging from the
walls. Yeah,
there
was color everywhere.
I wore a really nice Rainbow Pride Roots t-shirt, actually.
Fantastic.
Every time I go to Toronto, I go to shop at Roots. I'm plugging Roots
awesome
now, but it's only because I love Roots.
Well, I saw some of the pictures you had uploaded about some of the little treasures you were taking back with you in your suitcase, all the little food items.
Yeah, my junk food collection.
So what is it that you were able to find here that you can't find in New York?
Shreddies.
Uh-huh.
Smarties.
Uh-huh.
Ketchup chips.
You don't get ketchup chips in New York?
I think that you might find them in really, really scary little dark places, but okay. It's not like a mainstream thing. My wife has still not tried them yet. And every time I look at them, she like kind of snickers a little bit. Uh-huh. And I told her, you just wait. When you have one of these, you're going to be sorry because you're going to want more. I'm not going to give you more. She doesn't know what the experience of ketchup chips is actually like because she's not had them yet. And so right. I just brought back that small bag as an introduction. But I'm really looking forward to watching her face when she actually finally tries one because she's going to love awesome. It. How could you not love ketchup chips?
Oh, yeah. She'll fall in love with them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Of course. It's a given. I mean, it's not just us crazy Canadians that love them, but I think that people are afraid of what they don't know. And so they think, what? Ketchup chips? And then
Absolutely.
I get to tell the story of how when I was a kid, when you were a kid too, maybe, remember when Hostess was trying like grape chips and cherry chips and
oh, yeah.
orange chips and it was disgusting.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was a step too far.
Yeah.
That just stepped too far.
You know
far
what I remember, Rob, as far as chips go? Because in my family, you know, I look back on it now, and it's one of the things I'm grateful to my parents for, is, you know, we didn't do a lot of treats and snacks in our house, but Friday always, you know, it was the night that we would go out to a restaurant or we would bring food in for the night, and
yep.
we'd watch all our favorite 80s shows, you know, we were allowed to have a treat. Like, we could
right.
have, like, we didn't ever have pop, but it was the one night we could have, if we wanted, when we were a little bit older, we could have a can of pop, and we could have either chips or a chocolate bar or popcorn, and that was primarily it. And that would be it for the week. And I don't know if you would remember this, but I think it was Humpty Dumpty, and it was when bags of chips came in a barrel.
Yes.
Remember,
oh, my God, yes, I do remember that.
You remember that?
Yep.
And it would be
unfortunately.
Plain chips. Yeah, I don't believe they had the flavor chips at that point, or certainly in that the way that it was packaged, it was just plain. And
right.
I think my mom would make up a little onion dip, and we would dip the chips. But I remember it came in a barrel, and then it was always the fight who got to keep the barrel afterwards to put their little dinky cars or their little dollies or whatever.
Oh, life was so much simpler then. Why did we have to get older and grow up and have responsibilities?
I know.
This is what happens to everybody. Look, we can spend a lot of time just talking about chips anyway. Oh, well.
Sorry, Rob?
I was just going to say, it doesn't matter because we can still grow up and spend lots of time talking about chips anyways, and it still makes us happy.
Absolutely.
So
but
the other thing that I brought
back
was Macintosh's toffee.
I'd love to see it come back with the barrel because that was a huge novelty, and it certainly resonates with me as a big part of my childhood, knowing that that was symbolic with the one night a week treat night and all the great things we did with the barrel after the fact.
Of course.
But anyways, so
enough about chips.
When I was talking to you about Mamma Mia and the fact that based on what you had shared with us the last time that it was coming to an end September 5th, you then since told me it's now been extended to September 12th. Is that correct?
They gave it a whole extra week.
Wow.
They couldn't believe it after 13 years. And then they decided it's going to close. And they said, well, geez, what can we do to just like really thank the city of New York? Let's do 8 more shows. And so they gave
Fantastic.
8 more shows. I know. I'm kind of joking, but it's great.
And so are you finding now that people are aware of the fact that it's winding down?
Sure, because there's big signs everywhere saying last show, September 12th.
And so
the crowds are great.
Are people making a point of coming out more now, knowing that it's slowing down and it's nearing the end?
Well, we all who perform the show and work on the show know that the show is sort of been a perennial favorite for people around the world anyways. And I don't really believe that just the fact that it's closing is why we have huge crowds now, because it's kind of a cyclical thing. Like as the summertime goes, the crowds get bigger because there's more people coming to visit New York. And we definitely are a favorite for like the Europeans who come to New York because everybody loves ABBA. And I think that we so often we have people who are at the show who like are coming to New York and they're only going to go see one show because they're not that familiar with what's playing, but they definitely know Mamma Mia, so like people bringing their kids and stuff and coming multiple times. But it's a fun thing for us now to have such every show is totally sold out, and it's really fun for us. But then it's a little sad because then you think, well, then why are you closing the show? Because it's really selling right now. But that's not always true throughout the year because they have to keep their financial considerations in mind as you follow the whole cycle of the year. And there's big Broadway producers who have bigger concerns, you know, so it's all
right. Good. Well, that's good. And
yes.
And so have you thought or had time to think about what you're going to do to replace the busyness of how much that's consumed your life?
Well, it actually I would say that it doesn't consume my life a lot because we have it down. The performance is basically the part of my day that's filled up with the show is like the evening, or if I have two shows, then that's what fills my day. So I've actually come to have a really fortunate situation where my days are pretty filled with doing other things anyways, and then having the show not be a huge part of the day, but I mm-hmm. will miss having that as a continuous thing through my life anyways. So I'm just sort of looking at all the other things that I've enjoyed doing and just seeing how I can sort of expand that even more.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I have a couple of books that I've been working on that I'm sort of in reviving and looking at again and thinking, well, that's something I've always been kind of interested in doing, but it's sort of been in the back of my mind. And so I'm looking at kind of making some progress on that as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I hope that when you say that Planet Pomegranate's in there.
Yes, of course. That's a whole other thing. Because that for me is going to involve like something more musically inclined, but I can't wait until we get more into that too.
Yeah, well, I'll just for people who aren't aware of what I was talking about when I referenced Planet Pomegranate. So, excuse me, Planet Pomegranate is my third book that's currently being illustrated, and I had a meeting with the illustrators a couple weeks ago now, and the pencil drawings have pretty much neared completion. So the coloring of the book will start getting ramped up, and that's a bigger book compared to my first two. My first two were 36 pages. This one is 44 pages, and so when Rob and I had spoke the last time Rob was on radio with me, Rob had followed up saying that he would be interested in collaborating with me on one of my projects, and so when I shared with him what was now currently in the works, Planet Pomegranate really appealed to Rob, and we just thought it was a good book, a good project to be collaborated on. So, yeah, there's going to be a musical compilation attached to the book, and we're still kind of ironing out what that looks like. And
maybe we'll make it an opera.
What's that?
Maybe we can make it an opera.
Ooh.
Planet Pomegranate, the opera. I don't even know what that means. Maybe we'll find a way to musicalize the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, a lot of people are pumped about this particular book because it's got a comic book flavor to it, and it's about superhero children who save the world from global fear. And any updates that have pertained to that book, whether it be through me or my illustrators, Rob's been CC'd on everything along the way. And I'm really grateful and I'm really excited that we have that as well under our friendship belt. So thank you so much, Rob.
Let me ask you a question. How are things with the first two books, when you go to bookstores now, and like you were saying that you're going to head out west and reach out to bookstores out there, are you going to introduce them to both of the books? I guess you go and you're like, I've got these two books that I would like you to see.
Yeah, it's well, as you would imagine, being self-published, it's a lot of work right now, but I am talking to a publishing company. I've got a couple of contacts that I'm, one more so than the other, that I'm pretty much in daily contact with. And this person, lovely person, was actually the connector to my current publicist, Charlie Barrett, out in L.A. And so we're just in the process of ramping up for a press release on the state side. And so I've been in, daily contact with him and his people as well to get that going. And he's highly connected, very reputable. So I feel very strongly that that's going to help my work a lot. And it's going to be more widespread. And so what I'm doing in the interim on my side, just because, of course, as I've mentioned before, with my children now being out of school and being single parent, My focus is to give them a good summer and to enjoy my time with them. So I'm doing a good portion of my work in the evening time when they're in bed. And thankfully, there's time difference between me and all these bookstores out west. So
so far,
all the store managers who I've spoke to have been very receptive to receiving copies of my PDF files for both currently my first and second book. And as well as receiving my PR package. And so they've all said to me that they primarily only need a week to kind of make a decision, but a lot of them are really jazzed and pumped, and they really promote self-published authors. And so it looks like I'm going to be doing a big rollout of shipment to a lot of the bookstores out west.
Excellent.
And so that's going extremely well. And that's kind of where I wanted to go. Like, I really enjoy the individual person-to-person sales, whether it be through my book signings or anybody who's asked to meet with me for a coffee or, you know, can I come to your house or whatnot.
Sure.
And that's,
I wanna
really
do, that's
great.
What I want to do with music as well. That's like when I think of things that I want to do in the future. People are doing these things now called house concerts, and it's like they set up – I don't know if it's actually somebody's house that you go to, but some people do have like a space where they can have like – they set up like a performance venue kind of, and they sell tickets, and it's like a small number of people. But I love that idea. Like, that's what people used to do in like the 18th, 19th centuries, where they would do what they called salon concerts, and there would be like a piano player or like a little chamber group or something. And I thought, that's the thing I would love to do. I'd love to like travel around and like play for like a small group of people and like just get together and sort of like how you can meet somebody to talk about the book or do book signings. And
absolutely.
Musically,
well,
that's
sounds
the kind
like
of
a
stuff
great idea. And I could see that. I could see you just loving that.
Oh yeah. But I would probably never get any playing done, because I would just want to sit and talk to everybody. You know, and eventually I'd have to say, okay, look, I guess I should play you a song or two, or we should like do some songs together. But I'm always just interested to meet people and figure out what's happening anyway. So.
Well, and that's, I still hear you on that. And that's one of my favorite things that has come out of this whole aspect of the journey of my book. And, you know, as much as I love having taken something that I'm extremely passionate about and tangibly bringing it to fruition, what's really been fantastic, it's not just about selling a book. It's not just about it's the people that I meet are just fantastic. And not only does it generally turn into some kind of a networking opportunity or a referral or an additional piece of information that I wasn't perhaps aware of that's really helped me considerably, but it's, you know, people start talking about their own journeys or their own passions or, you know, and these are people that you wouldn't even necessarily know who have done, like, phenomenal things and, certainly given back to society, given back to community. And, you know, when I talk about when people read my books and, you know, particularly at this point with it being children's books, and I end my books with, you know, rediscover your inner child and remember your childlike spirit and all of these things. You know, that really takes people back in the midst of those kinds of conversations to a place where they just light up, you know.
Yeah,
they're talking about
things. I'm a big fan of childhood.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Rob. And, you know, you talk about the things and you see them and you hear them talk about the things that are near and dear to their heart, and you just see how much they light up. And regardless of the fact whether they end up purchasing a book or not, and generally people are very gracious and they do end up purchasing my book, but, I mean, the conversations and the lessons and the things that they've imparted to me, just on a spiritual level, it's just been amazing. And those end up being the favorite aspects of my journey throughout the whole book ordeal. So
do you have memories of, like, books that you read when you were young that still remain with you now?
I'm sorry?
Do you have memories of books that you read when you were a kid that you still think of fondly, like that you would read again or would want to read to your kids as well?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a big reader of Judy Blume. I love Judy Blume books, and it's nice to see that there's been a resurgence, a comeback with that. And in fact, one of the things I learned from somebody who I spoke with at one of my book signings that I had no idea about, but she was really well versed in the whole world of editing and publishing. And she mentioned to me that Judy Blume, you know, she's an author of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, Blubber, Tales of a Fourth Grade. I forget the last word. But anyway, she's written so many books, and it's really resonated, you know, primarily with females, but as well as males. And it was something that was part of my school curriculum. But anyway, when I spoke with this woman at the book signing, She said that Judy Blume, to date, is the only author who's gone into a publisher, produced her copy of her manuscript of all her books, and they published it on the spot. No back and forth, no rewrites, no anything. And
wow.
From what I understood, yeah. So, I mean, you know, another element of genius there, and which explains why her books did so incredibly well and why right. why they still remain popular to this day. So,
sure.
But yeah, I just, you know, there's just so many books. I can't even think off the top of my head because I'm so saturated in my own work right now. Not to sound self-absorbed, but yeah, I mean, there's just so many classics and,
When I was a kid, my earliest memory of being read to, well, I mean, besides from my parents, but I have this most vivid memory of being in third grade. And it's like, to this day, I can like, close my eyes and still be that kid. I mean, however old you are in grade three in America, they say third grade, but we Canadians get to say grade three. So when I was in grade three, our teacher read us these stories by this British writer named Enid Blyton. And she wrote book, like series of books. And it was, these were called the adventure books. And there was like the Ship of Adventure and the Castle of Adventure and the Island of Adventure. And I remember like it was the end of the school year and our teacher would take us out onto the lawn and read us these stories. And I loved them so much. And it was,
wow.
I mean, it was right that age when I'm starting to like be able to really follow through, you know, and get to know the characters and really follow these like drama. It's like pretty dramatic kind of stories for kids. But I still think of those books and how much I love them. And I think, I guess that really sparked something in my imagination that still stays with me now because I just love those books. Even to this day, I still, once in a while, I'll like take them out and flip through them and it's great.
That's lovely. Isn't it nice when something from your childhood just still stays with you and you just have to go back to that place in your memory bank and it just, you're reliving it all over again. I love that.
Did you switch phones?
No, I'm on the same.
It got better. The quality changed, though. It's like it's better.
Oh, okay.
It's like magic.
So, yeah, we're kind of doing the phone thing right now. The computer is a little bit wonky. But
yeah, all of a sudden you sound
okay?
better, though.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you talk about book projects that you've thought about that have, you know, been on the back burner a bit because of other priorities and engagement, you know, do you want to share with us a little bit of what that vision might look like, even though you still would have to, like, really fine-tune it and hone it?
One of them is a children's book.
Awesome.
And I don't want to give you too many details about it yet because
I understand.
Because what I'm trying to figure out is actually the presentation of the book. It's actually a very simple, it's going to sort of, combine music with reading. And I'm not sure whether to design it to be almost like an app. It could be a really good app for like an iPad or an iPhone as well. But there's a way to make it an actual physical book too. And I'm still like working on ideas in my head of how to actually do it, but it's going to be great.
Right.
So it's based on some children's music actually. And,
fantastic.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years and I've made little rough diagrams of how I want to do it and I'm finally like at the point of saying, okay, now I just need to do it. Like I need to work with a designer, an actual designer to make it come to life.
Good for you. Well, you know, my illustrators who I use, who are very dear friends of mine and will be for the rest of my life, they're phenomenal. I mean,
they are great.
You see my ebook and, you know, they're, Laura Aiken and Paul Pablo Schultz, so they're a married couple, and they're just salt of the earth people, and sometimes I don't even think they quite realize how talented they truly are. And so Paul, he does the illustrations, and Laura does the coloring, and, you know, the amount of compliments that I've received, like, I mean, with my words matched with, you know, their coloring, and the synergy between us is fantastic. Like, they're very intuitive. They really get to know their clients. They really get a feel for what it is that they're passionate about and the subtleties of different things that make them tick and the things that they're passionate about resonates with them. So I would certainly, as I always do, I refer them. So I know you're in the States and whatnot, but things can be done any which way business-wise these days. So, already connected with them. Yeah, and you're already connected with them. You know, you get CC'd on everything for Planet Pomegranate. So, you know, that's certainly something that I would consider because the amount of compliments that I have received on their behalf as to the quality of their work and the fact that what people really like about their artwork is that it's it resonates with kind of old-fashioned artistry in children's
right.
books once upon
yep.
a time, and it's kind of come back to life, and so it's a bit retro.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a referral there, and that's always part of it, too. Like, writing the book is the easiest part. It's then,
right, exactly.
where do I go? Yeah, where do I yeah. go with this? You know,
right.
and you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, the synergy of how all these people that came to play a part in the taking off of my books and it coming to life on the shelves and being a tangible product in your hands that you could then read with your children, it's, you know, that's a story in itself. You know,
it's true.
Are you
able to talk anymore? Because I don't really know. And is about the new book that you're working on with the other writers. Is that something that you can give more information on? Because I would like to know.
This is who you're citing?
Hmm?
Who are we talking about here?
Oh, the thing that you're working on that you were collaborating with some other writers on?
Oh, right. Yeah. So, you know, this is supposed to be about you, Rob, but thank you.
I want to know. Because I really want to know.
Well, thank you. So, yeah, I'd say going on a month ago now, I was the second time this has happened to me. First time I was one of 12 people selected from around the world following my reading The Passion Test, which
right.
is co-authored by one of my mentors, Janet Bray Atwood, New York Times bestselling author, and she graciously wrote the foreword for my second book, Reimburse the Universe. And so, again, I did that about a year and a half, 2 years ago now. I truly have no concept of time anymore. And so, you know, I've always been a supporter of that book. I plug it everywhere because of the clarity that it brought to me that allowed me to get very clear with bringing the journey of my books to fruition. And so then, you know, keeping in the same circles and getting updated emails from Janet and Chris Atwood, I then came upon an opportunity to be trained intensively for 3 days in California with 4 New York Times bestselling authors. So that, again, includes Janet and Chris Atwood, who both wrote The Passion Test, again, New York Times bestselling book. And they're very huge in the Asia market now. They do training everywhere. And from that, I also became a certified licensed Passion Test facilitator. And although I don't have time to really do that at this point, I really do endorse the book. And so I was, again, one of 12 people selected to go back to California, and this time I was in the company of Marcy Shymoff, who is, you know, she's written multiple books, New York Times bestseller for many within the Chicken Soup for the Soul series in her own books.
Wow.
And Jeff Affleck, and he's a member of the Passion Test family as well, and then, again, Chris and Janet Atwood. And so what was really lovely throughout that opportunity and the premise of all of that was to take, because I'm moving on to adult material now, so the training was very much geared towards that. So what is the concept of your book? What is your title? What is your subtitle? How, you know, and they work with you. And the referrals that they had that we did Skype call-ins with, like, these are people who are so busy in the industry that they don't give anybody their time. You can't get into them for even half an hour on Skype, no matter what you're willing to pay them. And because they really love all the 4 New York Times bestselling authors and endorse what they do and the degree that they continue to help people with their passions and inspire them with their journeys, we had some phenomenal resources that we got some tips from through Skype calls. And so I was then asked if I would like to consider co-authoring a chapter on their next transformational book. And the deadline for that is September 1st.
Nice.
And so I said, absolutely, like, to have my work paired with your work and be, you know, to be in that company, to not even be there for just a training opportunity and all the wonderful, you know, yummy things that came out of that experience, and to have just been selected. I mean, that was a gift and a blessing in itself. But then to be asked to co-author with them, I thought, wow, you know.
That's really great.
Yeah, I'm so honored and I'm so blessed. And so, you know, that's on my plate right now. I've got multiple things going on. And it's a very, very busy time. But, you know, as I've said before, it's a labor of love. And I know you can attest to that with your music. You know, everything you do, if you really entrench yourself and immerse yourself in the things that truly inspire you and warm your heart, I mean, you're not cognizant of time unless it is because you have a deadline to meet. you know, the days roll into each other and the projects become multiple projects and the partnerships become multiple partnerships. And
absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
And this has all happened for me in like a year and a half. Like
that's
four
great.
Books, two training opportunities, now a transformational book, and soon to be my own adult book in the personal development world. So it's just great. It's absolutely love it. And so now
would you ever consider doing like public speaking?
I have done public speaking, and I certainly did a lot of that in my former vocation of being in senior management within social services. And I actually, one of my former guests that I had on radio, Jane, she is, she's got her own magazine called I Love My Life. And she was lovely. She invited me on Boxing Day, to be interviewed for her magazine and YouTube interview. And as well, she out of that asked me to do a speaking engagement at one of her upcoming functions. It was a launch of the whole magazine. And so there I met a couple of other people who have since been guests on my show, and now one of Jane's partners, Susie. Susie has a show with Cameron Steele here on the Contact Talk Network. And in fact, you know, I'd say probably about five or six of my guests, they've either partnered with Cameron, or they're considering it, or they're in the training process, or they've already gone live with their own radio show. And this is, again, paying it forward, giving it back. And so there's a platform, you know, like whether you use just strictly social media, whether you actually go to guest speaking engagements. And I've been invited to a couple of others. Unfortunately, it's not worked out timing-wise because of my schedule with the children. But to be honest, it's always a treat to be asked and invited to these things, and that's certainly something I'm always receptive to and will continue to leave the doors open for that. I am just so swamped right now with rollout. I've got Toys R Us. It's been a pretty long process right now. But, you know, it's gone quickly than a lot of people have tried to get their product into the vendor, get into the system. So I have a vendor number with Toys R Us.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm in the Toys R Us system. I'm just, blessings to the one woman. She's like one person overseeing thousands of vendors. And so, you know, she's got an assistant and whatnot, but it's still a lot of work. And, it's not as easy as what people think. It's not, you know, it's not just about providing your ISBN numbers and, you know, headshots of your books and how many pages
right.
and stuff. Like, when it comes down to the actual packaging, like the dimensions you need to know, the specs, the everything. It's very, very precise, even just in the packaging and the parceling to do the rollout of distribution. And so that's the phase that we're at right now. And I'm not at liberty to talk about something else, but I'm just awaiting possibly being a vendor in another system with another corporate company. And so until that vendor number has been received, I can't publicly talk about it. But, I'm really, really grateful for that. And, I've got, Walmart has wanted to partner with me, and I was back and forth on the fence with that for no other reason than just talking about the pros and cons with other authors who have had their books in there. And, you know, it's nothing against Toys R Us. I'm not flagging anybody, but it's just some things that you really need to consider about where you're placing your book.
Sure.
And, you know, as to, there's a lot of people who shop at Walmart, they're not primarily shopping there for a book. So, you know, there's a lot of expense incorporated into that, and there's a lot of risk incorporated into that, and there's no guarantee that your stuff is going to sell. So I'm still kind of making a decision as to whether that's a partnership that I think would be in my best interest professionally. And
we got to get you on Oprah, too.
Well, my publicist is connected to Oprah. You know, he's actually handled one of her former shows on ABC and knows
Excellent.
Her producers personally. So I tried to get as far as I could with Oprah, and I did get quite far, considering most people who don't even get a response, but then it kind of got left and didn't go anywhere. So now that I have this connection with my publicist and he having that personal connection with Oprah and her team, I'm quite hopeful that, you know, I can get my books into her hands. So,
sure. That's great.
But anyway, Rob, this is a lot about Lisa, and this is supposed to be about Rob. And
it's about all of us.
You know, and I guess
we're just having a conversation that goes back and forth, like a game of tennis.
And you're very good at that. You're always good at sharing and, accentuating the positives about what's happening for other people in their lives. And I really appreciate you for that. But,
what did we cover? We covered chips. We covered kids' books. We covered, let's see, what else can we cover?
How's well, the weather about, where you are? Do you have any, like, because it's summer and your son and your wife, like, do you have any plans to just get away? Or are you kind of, because Mamma Mia and you're both attached to Mamma Mia and that's been wrapping up, are you kind of just in work zone still? And maybe when things kind of settle down a bit, you might look at having a bit of a reprieve or a bit of a vacation?
We've got a bit of a plan later this month to go. My sister is going to have a cottage that we're going to go spend some time at up in Canada. So we'll get away for a few days at that point, which would be nice. Mm-hmm. And other than that, we'll just be kind of hanging around here, I guess. Yeah, like doing the work. And I mean, there's so many activities around here that we can do as well. So it's nice to have the days open to do whatever.
Well, and that might open up the doors for some of your own creative writing process, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's such a nice feeling to, when the days are so nice, to just go sit outside and be able to work on music or to just be writing or whatever. It's great.
Absolutely.
Do you like to write with notepads or do you like to write on a computer?
Oh, I'm strictly pen and paper girl.
Are you really?
I am. I haven't done one thing on the computer.
Nothing
at all. I like the old fashioned, you know, and I've got all these Hilroy pads that I just fill up and, you know, there's scratches. And the thing is, I don't throw anything out because I think it's really important to kind of see and monitor your own progression. And so, you know, for people, and I, you know, I've done it in the past, you know, you kind of scroll through things and you think, oh my God, like, what did I just write? And does that even make sense? And, you know, that's not the direction I meant to go in that. But I think it's really interesting to hold on to the rough drafts of things or pages that you'd be inclined to throw in the garbage and write off a scrap, because I think it's just a really good barometer for measuring your own growth. And sometimes, you know, you go back to things that you've originally written, and it might not be the whole paragraph, but you can still borrow a line from something that really would fit nicely elsewhere. And so for that reason, I don't get rid of anything. I hold on to everything. And, I'm a big believer in that.
I like taking lots of notes on my phone, with the little notepad app.
I do that too, yeah.
So every time I think of something, I, like, make notes and for ideas for books or song ideas or lyric ideas or whatever. And I've started to realize that I have accumulated so many that I think I'm going to have to go backwards and I'm going to have to look at the things I've written digitally and then actually write them down in a book, because I think that will make them – that will transform them somehow into something else.
Right. Fantastic.
Like going from one process – it's like when somebody wants to write a book and they dictate it first and they like to just speak, like to sort of extemporize and speak – the ideas and then go back and listen to it and then write it down. Sometimes you need to use two different forms of technology to achieve the same end result.
Well, and that's the nice thing now. I mean, you know, there's lots of options available to people who, you know, we're all under time constraints, and sometimes a thought comes to you and you don't necessarily have a pad of paper and a pen handy.
Right.
And so for me, when I duplicate, like I use notes for duplication. So when I've already written things, you know, within one of my pads of paper, I sometimes, if I'm, you know, I get worried that things are going to get lost or whatnot, or it's good to carry it around and have it in a separate place, especially if somebody, you know, is asking you about your books or you need to reference something, or I'm finding it even more helpful now that I'm having a lot of dialoguing with my publicist and his team of people. And so they're calling me when I'm all over the place and I don't have all my books handy. And so I duplicate things onto my notes on my phone, but that's not where I originally start my thought process.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's good to have the option, to have
it. It is.
Right?
It is. And, you know, I can't wait to see what you end up producing, and I think you kind of, you already said it yourself out loud, almost as a testimonial to yourself or an affirmation, but, you know, the fact that this for a couple of years has resonated with you, that's a pull. You know, like, the soul will keep... Your spirit will keep dancing with you until you pay attention to it. I truly believe that. And so,
absolutely.
You know, if you know, this is a yearning, this is a calling, and this is something that you're now identifying needs to be done. And I think that's beautiful that we listen to ourselves, because that's where it all comes out of. You know, a lot of people squash it, or, you know, they talk themselves out of things or think, you know, well, what do I have to say that's actually worthy? Like, who really cares about what Lisa McDonald thinks or whatnot? But, you know, I write for myself. I write for my children. And the fact that it resonates with other people, that's beautiful. That's a gift.
And especially, and you're right, if it doesn't leave you, if it's sticking around, that means it's kind of waiting for you to kind of understand that it's time to bring it out.
Oh, yeah. Those reminders will keep popping up, whether it be in your thoughts, whether it be in your heart, or you see things symbolically out there that draw you back to the fact that makes you cognizant. It's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this is 2 years now. This is something that is really resonating with me, and I've got to honor this. I've got to follow through with this.
And it's it's like when the time is right, it happens, because sometimes things are...
Absolutely. And that's when it gets stronger, right?
Yeah.
That's when those feelings get stronger. Because it's like it's sensing, your body's sensing, your spirit's sensing that, okay, this is the time to now maybe make this a priority. And maybe it's because you can make it a priority.
Yep. It's like it's germinating.
Absolutely.
You have to plant
of an idea. I can't wait to see what you produce. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I think, you know, even outside of the children's book, I don't know if you're going to do an adult book as well to maybe tell the tale of your whole life, because the experiences that you've had, I mean, that would be so riveting to read, you know, just being in the Spoons, being in Honeymoon Suite, you know, being sought out as a musical associate director and, you know, doing all the shows that you've done, like big shows.
In the book of my life, I will write a chapter on all the people that I've randomly met for like a split second and just said hello to. Cause like if I see a famous person down the street, I don't care. I'll just go and say hello and like shake their hand or whatever. And it doesn't mean, cause it's nice to see somebody just like in public and not really think, oh, they're just here and I don't want to bother them and I'm not going to like fawn over them or anything. But sometimes I'll just like say hello. And I think, I've met a lot of like weirdly interesting random people in my life, like since I was a teenager. Well, no, even younger than that, I guess. And I just love like having random encounters like that, like where you just come across somebody and see them. That's one thing I loved being on tour as well, was when we were in the Spoons and we toured with Culture Club, and it was their first U.S. tour, and everybody wanted to come and see Boy George because at that time it was like, people wanted to see him in real life and see like what was the deal, like could he really sing like that, like the records were so good. And I mean at that time there was not as much widespread news as there is now. Like now we know every detail about everybody at every moment of their day, you know.
Right.
And at that time, we're talking over 30 years ago, of course, it's so long ago. And so everybody was curious, and every city we played in America, there would be like cool musicians coming up to see him, and they'd be hanging around backstage, or I'd see them play. We'd be playing on stage, and I'd see them at the back of the theater or whatever. And I just thought it was so exciting, just knowing that we were like being a part of that whole thing happening.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. And I'm sure you've had many, many, many examples you could cite in your book about that. You know, and.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that we use the word random. I question whether anything that we perceivably think is random. Like, I don't know.
I had a good random. I met Rudolf Nureyev once in Steve's Music Store in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not random, I don't know what is, because he's a ballet dancer. And
yet,
I was in the keyboard department and he was in there. And of course I saw him, and there was one guy working in there. And I saw Nureyev like looking at these electric keyboards, and I thought, "What the? That's Rudolf Nureyev. What's he doing in the music store?" And I went up to the guy at the counter. I said, "Do you know that's Rudolf Nureyev?" And he kind of looked at me like he didn't know who that was, anyways.
Oh,
and
really?
So I went up to him and I said, "I just wanted to say hello. I'm a fan of your work, whatever." And he was very nice, and I did kind of say, "What are you doing in the music store?" And he was looking for a keyboard because he was with his dance company. They had just performed actually a couple of days earlier. They had performed at Roy Thompson Hall, and he was looking for an electric keyboard to bring for rehearsals and stuff. And so he had an actual reason to be there. But to me, it was like a weird, random thing to see Nureyev in a music store. But I couldn't pass up that opportunity just to go say hello.
Of course not.
There he is. He's just a normal guy just standing there.
And when you see those opportunities, I mean, and obviously you do it, you just grab them, you know, because the chances of ever having that scenario play out again, or perhaps ever seeing that person again, that gets lost, right?
Yep.
And you never know the wonderful things that could materialize as just a result of introducing yourself, saying hello. And to know that you approached him and said that you were a big fan, I mean, who knows what, you know, we glean things from what we think are happening in people's lives, but I mean, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So that moment of you doing that and making that effort and saying what you said, I mean, you don't know to what degree that, you know, put a bounce in his step for that day, or, you know, because, and that's an industry too. Like, if you're not necessarily a dancer, you know, or in that kind of artistry world, you know, you're not necessarily recognizable unless somebody else shares that in common with you. So,
right.
Who
knows?
True. You know, that's lovely that you did that. I think that's fantastic.
I just like meeting people. I think everybody has an interesting story. And I mean, and it's not just creative people. I think it's the opportunity is with everybody that we encounter. Everybody has an interesting story. We just need to take the time and be open enough to kind of try to figure out what's going on with everybody.
Right.
And I mean, you know, sometimes it's difficult in our lives that we encounter people, say you're in a store or something and somebody's having a bad day or having a hard day or whatever. And we don't know the whole story behind it, and sometimes we get frustrated with people in certain situations, and yet we don't know the whole story of what's happening in another person's life. But it's like an opportunity to kind of try to see through whatever's like blurring them at this moment and see a more fundamental aspect of a person. And it's a difficult thing to remember, but I think the potential exists in us to kind of meet at a different level.
For sure. I totally wholeheartedly agree with you. And you know what, Ross, can you believe we've already killed an hour here?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I believe that we have. There was so much more I wanted to cover.
Yeah, because all we talked about chips for half an hour.
What's that?
We talked about ketchup chips for half an hour.
I know.
But there's nothing wrong with that because now it's lunchtime.
I know. But you know what? I was so hoping to get some music in here and whatnot. But what we can do, because I mean, we're connected now and we stay in touch and we've got more reason to continue staying in touch. But I'm certainly going to have you back here again.
Good.
And we're going to do it with a running functional computer. And, you know, and so, yeah, I'm glad that we were able to improvise, even though things kind of went awry last minute as to how I would typically run radio.
But we made it work.
And it worked. Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Always, always.
So, Rob, do you want to just let people know where they can find you?
Well, you can find me. You mean, like, generally? Come to
like
New York and come see me.
Social media,
until
like
September
anybody,
12th.
You know, yeah.
Well, you can find me on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't have a website yet. I'm actually going to – that's another thing I have to do is I have to, like, do an actual website and kind of get some of that stuff together because right now, like, there's some videos of me on YouTube that are, like, hilarious things from the 80s, like Spoons interviews and things. And I have friends who say, oh, I saw this video of you when you were, like, 18 years old and your hair was 10 feet tall. It was, like, giant blonde hair. So there's, like – old things that exist, but I feel like maybe I'm going to put a website together and put some music on there and just more biographical stuff as well. So it's not just random clips.
Well, that would be great. And certainly when you get that up and running and maybe at that stage, you're already, you know, well into writing your first book.
Yes.
And, you know, and we've got Planet Pomegranate coming up and, you're attached to that. So, I mean, you're definitely going to be back on the show.
We're going to do some book tours together.
Woohoo!
Aren't we? Because we should organize something where you're going to like do a signing and you'll do a little speaking and then I'll play some music and we'll do that kind of stuff together.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that. I know we mentioned that before, and yeah, I absolutely would love to do that.
Absolutely.
And I know that you've got family still here, and you know maybe Carol Pope will bring you back here again. So there would be other reasons for hopefully you coming here. I think you might be a little more mobile than myself at this point with my situation and circumstances, but I will certainly do what I can to reciprocate stomping grounds. And,
sure.
You know, joint territory and whatnot that we can get that going. That would be absolutely phenomenal.
Totally.
And
warm
my
amazing.
Heart. But listen, Rob, we're going to have to wind up here. I'm so sorry. I could talk to you forever and, and I will. I will continue to do so behind the scenes. And, so love to you and your family. Keep doing what you're doing. You're very inspiring. We appreciate
Thank you
so much.
Enjoy your summer. I'll be listening to you every week as well.
Well, thanks, Rob. And you enjoy your summer, and we'll touch base soon, okay?
Thank you.
So, yeah. So to my listening audience, I want to thank you once again for tuning in to Lisa McDonald, Carpe Diem, here at the Contact Talk Radio Network. I go live every Friday at 11:04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have any show topic ideas or you'd like to appear as an actual guest on my show, please feel free to contact me at either lisamcdonaldauthor.com, author or McDonald is spelled M-C-D-O-N-A-L-D, or you can email me at lisamcdonald13@gmail.com. www.lisamcdonald.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again. Appreciate everything. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Stay safe.
Podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.